Worship the Lord in the beauty of good holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our rock, you offer us a covenant of mercy, and you provide the foundation of our lives. Ground us in your word and strengthen our resolve to be your disciples through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Okay, a reading from Deuteronomy. Moses said to all Israel, "You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to you, to your ancestors, to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn from the way that I am commanding you today to follow other gods that you have not known." The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 31 responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that you set for me, for you are my tower of strength. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Goodness,
which you have laid out for those who fear you, which you have found in the sight of all those who put their trust
in you. You hide them in the protection of your presence from those who slander them. You keep them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. I said in my alarm, I have been cut off from the sight of your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the sound of my plea when I cried out to you.
Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord protects the faithful, but when he hates his foe, those who act often.
Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord.
Glory to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith, and the uncircumcised through the same faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many deeds of power in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. The reading from the book of Deuteronomy, that first reading, begins with a command of God. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The words that God is referring to come a little earlier in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the great command, the Shema, which reads, "Hear." That's the word in Hebrew. Shema is hear. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Those are the words that the Moses says to the people. Write these words and fix them on your hand, on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house. And above all, teach them to your children. These are not words of a suggestion. This is urgent. This is a command. This affects every aspect of living. Don't let a day go by. Don't let an hour go by without knowing who and whose you are. Nothing matters as much as loving and serving and obeying that one God. And this is the central point of this, is the loving and serving that God that needs to be taught to the children and acknowledged. Acknowledged in even the ordinary acts of life, such as going in and out of your doorway. I brought a show and tell. This is a mezuzah. This is, I bought it on Friday over at a Jewish gift shop over on Marina Boulevard. Beautiful stores, by the way. And this is what the Jewish people put on the doors of their house. If you're really a kosher living, you would have one on every door of your house except the bathroom and the mudroom. Any place that ordinarily gets too dirty. For me, it just wouldn't have it up at all. And it's always placed on the right-hand side as you go into the room, the right-hand side, and it's placed on a slant rather than straight up or down. It's placed on a slant, and that's because the rabbis, when they started following this with houses rather than living in tents and such, the rabbis were discussing which way it should go, and they couldn't agree, so they said, well, we'll compromise. So it always goes on a slant. And it has, this is the Hebrew letter, the sin, shin, that is the first letter, that it's like the S for the Shema. And inside is the scroll, and I got a kosher scroll. You can get, there's two kinds of scrolls. You can get a copy of a scroll, or you can get a kosher one, which is written by a rabbi, which has no mistakes in it, and it's not written over, and no corrections. Nothing's crossed out, and it's all written in Hebrew. And on the back, so you round, this word is Shema, which means hear, listen, hear, and then it continues, and it's those words that we just read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, the Lord your God. Follow that commandment that we read in Deuteronomy, and also another quote from the book of Exodus that tells the same story. If anyone wants to read Hebrew, it goes this way. You can pass that around. I got a kosher one. It's very small because it has to fit inside here. The mezuzah is placed on the doorpost of the house. And the story that Jesus told, though, wasn't about doorposts, but was about foundations, was about footings. It was about a year ago that our building forum, or maybe even longer than that, held a series of cottage meetings. And we asked the question, if we were going to do some renovation in our church, what would we need to do? And there were two things that were mentioned over and over again. One, upgrade the bathrooms. And two, improve the sight lines in the sanctuary. These pillars do cause some difficulty in seeing. So we hired a structural engineer to come and look at the building. And the very first thing that they wanted to know about, that they looked at, was the foundation and the footings. Is this building strong enough? Is this building secure? And we found out that things are solid under our feet. And thanks to our predecessors who built this building, we don't have to worry that our church will blow down. Even by the big bad wolf huffing and puffing, our building is strong, and we don't have to worry about that. Jesus takes this basic construction principle and makes a point in this parable. To build a house wisely on rock rather than foolishly on sand is to build our lives on the solid foundations that protect us from the storms of life. Just like the story of the three little pigs, the solid foundation is the way to go. We must build our lives on that discipline and hard work, using strong materials that hold up under the attacks of the big bad wolf, the world outside. You can imagine yourself pouring a slab of concrete, putting down footings that go against that unstable soil. and then insulating ourselves from anyone else that isn't a wise builder. We can imagine ourselves setting that firm foundation, being safe from all the assaults, from anything that would come from the outside, anything that we would name the big bad wolf. But before you get too comfortable in that little parable, pay attention to what the wise builder does. What makes that wise builder so wise? Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise builder, the wise man who built on the rock. These words of mine. So we have to look back and see, well, what was Jesus just talking about when he said, pay attention to what I've just said. So we have to look at that whole Sermon on the Mount, that this story comes at the end of that, those three chapters. But this story is preceded by teachings of Jesus. These words of mine. What was he talking about? On closer listening, we hear that it's not so simple as choosing one building material over another. Jesus is talking about being poor in spirit, humble of heart, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, forgive as your Father forgives. Don't worry about what you wear or what you eat. Avoid judging other people. Go to the Lord in prayer. Ask for forgiveness. And that's just a little sample of what Jesus was teaching, what he was talking about in these words of mine. Jesus takes this whole foundation principle and turns it upside down. It's not that easy. In fact, hearing that list of things that Jesus calls us to, it sounds more like we're getting into quicksand because we see how far our lives are from that ideal that Jesus is calling us to. How much we fall short. Maybe Jesus wasn't such a smart carpenter after all. Maybe he's not using the same principles as that smart little piggy. But that's just like Jesus, isn't it? Turning everything upside down. Jesus isn't about going the way of the world, living your life so that you fit in with the rest of the world. Jesus turns that kingdom upside down and says, this is the way you should live. Jesus isn't, however, asking for exterior action, for crying out, Lord, Lord, or for even putting a mezuzah on your doorpost. Jesus is asking us to do the will of the Father. Just knowing the right words, just knowing what these words of mine are, isn't enough. Looking like we believe isn't enough. We have to be in a relationship with God and act on that relationship. It's an interior relationship. Think about the difference between these two questions. What do you believe? And the second question, what difference does it make that you believe? Jesus tells us that those who did not enter the kingdom of heaven may have had an outward sign, an outward show of faith, but they lacked an interior relationship. They lacked a real relationship with God. That interior relationship, that firm foundation, was not there in those people who just cried out, Lord, Lord, but hadn't acted on that. That's like a house of straw, a house built on sand. So, what is the foundation of your life? What are you built upon? Is it doing the will of the Father? St. Paul writes that we all fail. We all sin. We all fall short of doing God's will. And it's only through the grace of God in Jesus Christ that we are set free. Doing the will of the Father, according to St. Paul, is all about grace. And that's Jesus' free gift to us. And I think this is the best news of all, that we're called not to worry about being the structural engineers that have to make decisions about what kinds of footings there is in our life. We are called to be God's children. We are called to be graced, redeemed by Jesus Christ. On our own, we absolutely cannot do it. We cannot earn our salvation no matter how much good we try to do. But thanks be to God for his gift to us of grace through faith. Faith is what makes our gifts holy. Faith is what makes our work holy. Faith is what makes us like the wise man in the parable. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. And nothing that gets thrown our way, all the changes and chances of life, nothing can knock down our house that's built on that rock. God is our rock foundation. God keeps us secure in the storms of life. There is no limit to the good that we can do while we're standing on that secure, firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And we can, through him, respond in faith, in obedience to God's will. And we can live then what it says in that scroll, wherever it is, that goes in the mezuzah, wherever that is, that says, "Hear, O Israel, listen, O people of St. Peter's, the Lord your God is one. Love him, follow him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength." Amen.